Today's case is about consideration in contracts. And before we jump into the case, I want to review the basic rules of consideration. So for a contract to be legally enforced by the courts, it has to be supported by consideration. And consideration is basically the stuff that we give up or promise to do in a contract in order to get the other person to give us something or to do something for us. Valid consideration, it can be physical stuff like cash or property. An example of that would be me offering to sell you my iPhone and you giving me $500. Valid consideration can also be a service. An example of that would be me promising to paint your house. Valid consideration can also be refraining from doing something we otherwise have a legal right to do. For example, I could offer to not sell my upcoming album to a competing record label. Also, there needs to be consideration on both sides of the agreement. If only one side is giving something, then that's just going to be a gift, and courts do not enforce promised gifts. Last of all, consideration must be the thing that induces the other party to give their consideration. For example, if you're to give me your iPhone, regardless of whether or not I paid you $500, then that iPhone will not count as consideration. Okay, let's jump into our case. Today's case is Hamer v. Sidway, and it takes place in the New York State Court of Appeals in 1891. And the purpose of this case is to show how consideration includes refraining from doing something that you would otherwise have a legal right to do. So let's jump into the facts. First, we have the uncle, and he's a rich uncle, and we have the nephew. And one day, the uncle approaches the nephew and says to him, "Hey nephew, I see that you have a lot of potential, and I would hate for you to throw all that potential away and get life started on the wrong foot. So I'm going to make a deal with you. If you agree to never play billiards, never drink alcohol, and not use any tobacco, on your 21st birthday, I will give you $5,000. And remember, this is 1891, so $5,000 is a lot of money. The nephew agrees to do this, and he actually follows through. And so his 21st birthday comes around, he tells his uncle about it, and his uncle's super happy. He's thrilled to hear that the nephew followed through on his side. However, the uncle doesn't want to give him the money right away. The uncle tells him, "It's like, look, you're 21 years old, and $5,000, that's a lot of money for a 21-year-old to have. So I'm going to hold on to it. I've got it saved in a separate account. And let's just wait a few years till you grow up a little more, until you're a little more mature to be able to handle that sort of money." And as far as I know, the nephew was cool with that. However, what happened was during this waiting period, the uncle ended up dying. And so all his assets, including that account, went to the inheritors of his estate. Now, the inheritors of the uncle's estate, they didn't want to give up that money to the nephew. So the nephew ends up suing them for breach of contract. So let's go into the arguments for each side. The inheritors of the estate are going to say that there's no consideration, there's no contract. This arrangement between the uncle and the nephew, this was just a gift from the uncle. So there's no legal obligation here. It's not like the uncle got any benefit here, he was just giving $5,000. Now the nephew's counter argument is, he said that, look, the uncle gave $5,000, and I refrained from playing billiards, drinking alcohol, using tobacco, all those things that I had a legal right to do, and that counts as consideration. And by the way, back in those days, you could drink alcohol and smoke and all that stuff under 21. And so the nephew's saying, I refrained from using a legal right. So let's pretend that you're the judge and you have to rule on this case. Are you going to rule that the nephew's refraining from partying counts as consideration? Are you going to say this really was just a gift? Go ahead and leave a comment in our Pod Talk group if you're in there and tell me what you think. So let's find out what the judge ruled. The judge says that indeed this is a contract, and basically going off the nephew's argument that yes, refraining from doing those things that you otherwise have a legal right to do, that counts as consideration. So if you just apply the rules of consideration, I think it's fairly clear that the rules fit in this case. Now, some of you may be thinking, you know, I guess technically the nephew refrained from using a legal right, but the uncle didn't really get any benefit, and this whole thing just looks and feels like a gift. So that's a really good point, and I think it's important to address it. And it's just something really important to understand about contract law is that once there's sufficient consideration, once each side shows that they're bringing consideration to the bargain, we actually don't care really about benefit or harm. Judges generally take a really hands-off approach. And if you remember back into our introduction on contracts, we talked about how contracts are voluntary. We enter into contracts on a voluntary basis, and so judges always take this presumption that if you entered into the contract, you thought it was going to be a good deal for you. And so because of that presumption, judges tend to take a hands-off approach. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to pose a question to you about whether you think that's right or not. Do you think it's a good idea that judges take that hands-off approach, or do you think they should be a little more discerning about benefit and harm and seeing if there's a more equitable exchange going on? So go ahead and leave a comment in our group. I'm going to go ahead and give my own personal thoughts about this. Personally, I am very much in favor of judges taking a more hands-off approach. And the reason for that is, there's a number of reasons, but one of the biggest is that, you know, judges don't really know that much. I mean, they're really smart and all, but when it comes to knowing the particulars of a certain contract, like between this uncle and nephew, you know, being able to discern whether the uncle really got any benefits or not from it, it's sort of hard for him to know. And you can think of just contracts and all other sorts of settings. In order to know whether someone's really benefiting or getting harmed or whatever, you'd have to know a lot about those specific people and that specific circumstance. And judges just don't have that information. It's basically impossible for them to really accurately discern the degree of benefit of harm. So that's my personal thought. I'd like the idea of freedom of contract and letting individuals kind of choose their own terms and sticking to that. But maybe you disagree, and if you do, happy to hear from you. And so if you have any other questions or comments about this case, go ahead and leave a comment in our Pod Talk group, and I will try to get back to you. And that's all we're going to cover for this case. So thank you for joining me. I'll talk to you next time.